So, hey guys, I'm Brian Hershey, and I'm here with Craig Ferguson and Matt Brandon. And just to give you a quick introduction to these guys, Matt is the author of Digital Trekker, thedigitaltrekker.com, and is a photographer based out of Malaysia, doing work in Southeast Asia photographically. And then Craig lives in Taiwan, and you can find his blog at craigfergusonimages.com. And so we're basically here today to talk about engaging culture photographically. And it's become kind of a phrase that's thrown around by many cultural and travel photographers. And it's getting to the point now where it has less and less meaning. And so we're going to discuss what it truly means to engage a culture photographically, what it looks like, what it doesn't look like, and just kind of flush out the images surrounding what it truly looks like to engage a culture photographically. So welcome, guys. Thanks for joining the conversation.
I'm glad to be here.
Yep.
Well, glad to have you guys. So let's jump right in. The first question we have is, you know, what does the phrase engaging a culture photographically mean to you guys?
In a one-word answer, it would be understanding. To try and show that you understand the people you are photographing. And that could even get into your own culture as well. So when the viewer is looking at the photo, they can see where you're at and what you're trying to show, and see the humanity, I guess. It may be different, but it's no less valid. So that would be the short answer, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, I think for me, when I use the term engaging a culture, I'm not sure I'd have to actually go back into my blogs and stuff and see if I actually ever used the word engaging a culture photographically. When I think of engaging a culture, I think of it as the photographer engaging the culture, which means, to me, it just means engaging. It's getting involved with it, getting in there, get dirty in a sense, getting your hands dirty, getting your feet dirty, getting your knees dirty, and experiencing as much of the culture as you can. And I think as a photographer, when a photographer does that, it translates into more informed images, and images that will speak clearer, I think, to the viewer. And but I'm not sure I agree with this statement in the sense of engaging a culture photographically. I'm not even sure what that means, photographically engaging it.
Yeah, I think it's a term that's actually been thrown around a lot. People are saying that they're engaging because they photograph a culture, they're engaging it photographically. And it's a term that I've seen used quite a bit. And so in my mind, to kind of add on to what you're saying, Matt, I don't necessarily see a distinction between engaging it photographically and engaging the culture. And so I think to engage it photographically, sometimes we have to first, without the camera, engage the culture, just as we would somebody visiting the culture or interested in the culture. And then second, I think that provides informed images that will allow you to, quote-unquote, engage the culture photographically. And I think the nature of the question comes from the fact that I've heard this thrown around so many times that it is a question of what do people mean by engaging it photographically. And so
I think there's different depths. Yeah, I think there's different depths. I mean, like Craig and you and all three of us, we live in a culture and we engage this culture on different levels just by merely living here.
Mm-hmm.
I have engaged, and I'll just be honest here, I have engaged the Malaysian culture far less than I did the Indian culture when I lived in India. But even then, when I say I've engaged the Malaysian culture, what is that? I mean, Malaysian culture is complicated. Is it the Malay culture? Is it the Chinese culture? Is it the Tamil culture? You know, what is it? There's a Malaysian expat culture. So, you know, I, and to what extent have I engaged it? I live here. I haven't learned Bahasa Melayu. I haven't learned any of the Chinese languages. Unlike when I lived in India, I learned Urdu. I picked up a little bit of Kashmiri. You know, that was definitely engaging it on a whole nother level. But yet at the same time, by living here, I still get out and every day get outside. Well, maybe not every day, but often I get outside and I eat the food. I talk to the people. I hear what's on their minds. I hear them screaming about the politicians or about not being heard here or there, or the problem with the power or the sanitation department or whatever the issues are, you know, and all of that comes. And quite frankly, I hear about some of the negative stuff, like the way that a certain culture within the country is being treated by another culture within the culture, I mean, within the country. And that also then informs me as a third culture, if you will, outside of these cultures, and it will inform my photography. But I think, so there's different levels of engagement that you can talk about. And I think, I mean, Craig was asking the question earlier before we even started the interview. And I know this is something you're going to talk about later, but you know, what does that mean for a guy who's taking a holiday and going out and visiting a culture? Can they really say that they're engaging the culture? I think, you know.
Yeah, there's been an interesting debate on one of the expat forums here in Taiwan recently about photographing people kind of with and without permission. And it seems that a lot of the people who have kind of come out saying you need to ask every time, and these are not photographers, these are just people who happen to live in Taiwan who say whether they're out with their cell phone or something and they take a picture. It seems to be a lot of the ones who are fairly new to Taiwan, and particularly a lot of the Westerners, are saying that you need to ask permission. And the ones who have been here in the culture for a lot longer, and the Taiwanese people on there, are more saying that it doesn't matter as long as it's not kind of offensive or forceful or something like that. It seems that there's, over time, as people spend more time, as particularly in Eastern cultures, the views seem to change in that sense as to what is polite, maybe, and what is not. So and I think that goes, yeah, yeah.
Well, so you're saying that the Taiwanese natives are saying it's not a big issue, but the expats are...
Yeah, basically, the people in Taiwan and... expats who've lived here for a long time, generally, like on the subway or something, people will take pictures of the people sleeping across from them and no one cares. But then you get a lot of people who have been here for a relatively short time, and they would say that if someone did that, they would want to go and beat them up or something.
Really?
I guess part of this expat forum, a lot of the people actually know each other in real life, so maybe the speech is a bit more direct. So when they say beat them up, it's often saying it to other people who know them in real life, so maybe not quite so serious. But yeah, for them, it's a big issue.
Yeah, like I felt like slapping Brian around a little bit. You know, it's that same sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a daily occurrence, so I'm not sure that right. plays into this.
Yeah, but you know, that's a really interesting point, Craig, because I have found the same thing. This last September, when David Duschamp and I led the last Lumen Day we did in India, we were in Ladakh, and we were at a monastery there, and we were taking pictures of the kids and the other monks, and you know, it was set up for that purpose. It was set up to so that tourists like ourselves could take pictures. And you know, we were we had been there several times, but our sort of the guide or the fixer, if you will, for the Lumen Day, was a local, and he knew it. He knew all of it very well, and he was telling us our do's and don'ts. And yes, there are times when you can overdo things, but we were trying to be very careful. Like we'd sit down inside of a during the little devotional time when they were doing their prayers and stuff, and we would try not to move around, and we'd find a place, we'd stay there, and then we'd shoot, and then if we were done, we'd get up and leave. And so we were trying to be less distracting and everything. Well, all that to say was, later we were having lunch down at the bottom of the monastery, and this this foreigner, I won't say what nationality was because I don't think it necessarily plays into the importance of it, but but he says, "Why do you?" No, I'm kidding. But he came up to us, and he just started just lecturing us about our morals and our values and how we're just stealing pictures of these children and of these monks, and we're just so callous people, and just on and on and on. And it really bothered me. Well, it bothered us all, just because he gave us a good tongue lashing. And, you know, we tried to explain to him that we understood what we were doing, that we had permission and everything, but he just didn't want to hear it. And he had painted us out to be such terrible people. And I was concerned that our clients, you know, the people that were there would think, well, boy, Matt and David are really culturally insensitive, and they brought us right into this thing, and you know, we're relying on them. And so just after this guy left, stormed out, we were all just feeling hollow and empty and just feeling terrible, you know. And this old monk comes up, and he smiles, and Jule, Jule says, which is the hello there. And then he started talking about photography, and he wanted his picture made. And then he said, "Could you take my picture, or could I take your picture with your camera?" And all this kind of stuff. And so then we started asking him what he thought about all this. And he just looked at it like, "What? This is nonsense." Mm-hmm. He says, this is why, I mean, if it isn't for you coming here, we wouldn't have any income in this place.
That's exactly right.
You know, and he was saying, this is what it's set up for. He says, people don't understand that. Don't listen to him, you know, this kind of stuff. And I think that, that we oftentimes get on a moral high horse, and we start judging people and especially photographers oftentimes for doing stuff insensitively when maybe sometimes it's justified. I've certainly have seen what I would call insensitive photographers. But I think there are other times when, you know, I like to think that myself and my workshops, we err on the conservative side rather than on the bold and in your face side of things.
Sure. You know, and I can add some to that. I think that it's really interesting what Craig is saying about the locals not caring. I think actually where I live in Western China, it's a little bit of the opposite, and that might have something to do with the amount of development and the modernization. You know, the foreigners seem to not care at all and not give it a second thought, while the locals are very concerned about the foreigners photographing them. And, you know, in the summertime, this is a pretty hot tourist destination. And so they've probably seen what Matt describes as those rude photographers most of the time. And so as somebody who lives here, I have actually had to become ultra conservative and oftentimes talk to people, speak with them, and sit with them for an hour or two before they're even comfortable to see a camera. And so it's quite interesting to see kind of the reverse there. And I think that points to, you know, it's different in different places. And in some ways, it's up to the photographer to maybe feel out the sensitivity of an area to a photographer or to photographers showing up. And I think that the main story that kind of motivated this conversation is about 3 weeks ago, I was in Hong Kong, and an interview with a photographer, a local photographer, came on the TV, and he was talking about how he had lived in Hong Kong for 3 or 4 years, and you know, he's a European photographer living in Hong Kong, and he says, you know, these are my people. I engage them photographically, and the thing that really struck me as odd is that he didn't just take pictures like we would. You know, you hold the camera up to your face. His whole method was completely to take hip shots and from the belt shots and try to minimize his presence as a photographer. And it really struck me as odd that somebody who's sitting here telling me that they're engaging a culture photographically or even engaging a culture seeks to at all costs not to engage the culture is what it seemed like. And so it really just brought up the questions like, well, what do you mean when you say you're engaging them photographically? And so his story really kind of bothered me because I felt like he was not engaging the culture. He was putting the camera between him and the culture and then telling me he was engaging it. And it's something that I've seen more and more where people, they want to experience the culture, but maybe not necessarily engage it. And so with that in mind, what do you guys think the difference is between experiencing a culture and maybe necessarily engaging it? And is it truly necessary for us as photographers to engage a culture?
Go ahead, Craig. You got that one.
Okay.
Go ahead. All right, lighten us, Craig.
So I guess the difference between engaging and experiencing is one is active and one is passive. Engaging, you have to give something of yourself back to that culture, whether it's just interaction and talking to people or it goes further than that. Whereas experiencing, it's almost like you're sitting there watching it and you're not really separate from it in some way. I guess like you're watching a sporting event or you're actually playing sport type of thing. Yeah, I think that will probably be the main differences I see it between the two. And there are times when experiencing it is actually better than engaging in something. And there are times when engaging it is better. It's probably not always necessary to engage, and it's probably not always possible to engage at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I was just last month on shooting an assignment for a magazine, and we had like 4 days to photograph, and I was with a writer, he had to write it, in this kind of small, I guess, artist-type community. And like on that kind of thing, we had the kind of the leaders of the community showing us around and setting up interviews and all of this, but there's only so much we can actually do in that amount of time. And if you're living in the place, sure, you can spend months or something getting to know the people. But when you're passing through either on assignment or on vacation or something like that, experiencing is often about as much as you can hope for. Trying to learn as much as you can and understand it as best as possible. But you're limited, I think, in how much you can actually engage in a short time span.
Sure.
Yeah, I think he nailed it. I think that's exactly right. I would say that I think we're not being realistic if we say that, you know, every time we go to a new culture that we engage it. I think you should almost, I don't know, maybe I'm just being a poor sport here, but I think engaging maybe not even the right word to be using for most of the time. I think for those of us that are expats living abroad in a culture, I think we may be engaging. Mm. And I think the rest of the time, as soon as I leave Malaysia and I go to Iraq, like I did last year, I wasn't engaging the culture. I was experiencing the culture. I was scratching the surface of it in a sense, but, you know, and I was being allowed in to a point by the people that I was working with, but there was no real depth, no significant depth. And I think that's why when in the olden days, in the in the days gone by when magazines had budgets to send people out, you know, a National Geographic photographer 10, 15 years ago would spend anywhere from 3 to 5, maybe even 6 months on an assignment because they really engaged in the culture that they were covering. I think nowadays, you know, I've talked to a few of the National Geographic contributing photographers and stuff, and most of the time they just have a couple of weeks, and so they realistically they don't get to the depth that they had, that they could have had years ago. Most of that has to do with budgets. You know, mm-hmm. the magazines don't have the money to keep someone out there. And so I think a lot of us have to live in a practical world to where, you know, we're not true. Now, I tell you where that does change a little bit is when you go on a workshop, say with you, Brian, or with me into India, where we have lived in a place for years and years and years, and we know the language, we know the culture to a large extent. And I'll never say I know a culture completely. I don't even know my own home culture completely, but we know it better than the average person. And then we can help our people that come with us engage because we specifically set things up for them to experience or to give back or to take, you know, to interact with the culture, because it's almost contrived in a positive sense. In other words, it's premeditated, and so it's there. But when I go on vacation with my wife and child to Vietnam, and I go shoot when I'm not in jail, I go shoot and then I can't say that I engaged the culture when I was there. I experienced some of it, but I didn't even experience a lot of it. You know, I walk away and I'm going, dang, I wish I would. I never did get to eat that thing that I wanted to eat or try that one thing, you know.